issues and different things she's tried. And so I've uploaded a lot of her information, which I thought might make an interesting case because she has so much information. But it all started with the Dutch, so I don't know if you feel comfortable maybe diving into that one.
I'm going to first pull up your form.
Okay.
Let's see, form 156.
I just got back, so.
Okay. Well, I was just pulling up her forms.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So do you need those or do you?
I would need them. Let me see. It didn't leave them up. So let me see.
Okay. Hold on.
No, it didn't leave them up. Oh, wait. It did. It did leave them up.
Okay.
It did. I just opened up the thing and it's still there. So I do have it and okay. I'll share it. I'll share the screen. But, you know, if you have them handy in case this starts again.
Yep. I do.
I don't know. It just gave me this funny message about some kind of accelerator thingy. And I'm like, what the heck's that? And then it went blank and then I still could hear you guys, but then boom, gone. All right. Yeah. So let me share. So it's still recording.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Well, that's because I'm a co-host.
Oh, okay, good. Well, that's good. Hopefully we'll see where the recording lands. If it lands on your computer, you'll pass it on.
No, you're the host.
Okay. I don't know enough about this. we're just always learning new things about Zoom, but now
always.
Yeah, let's see. All right. So this one is Brenda.
Were you able to hear me, Rita Marie?
I heard you say something about the Dutch, but I missed the beginning of that. So you said you had a lot of information about this person, and did you want to start with the Dutch? So let me see if I can get this to share, and if I can't, I'm just going to have Lynn do.
Okay.
Let's see. If I do share screen, it should show this. Yep, share screen. You should see it. Do you see it?
I see it.
Woohoo! Okay. All right. Tell us a little bit about, is this you? Is it for
success?
You?
No, this is a client of mine that I've had for over 10 years in my skincare business. And so we share all of her different symptoms and doctors and treatments. And I uploaded her whole, she's been very organized about keeping her timeline with treatments. And as you can see, each one says little to no improvement.
So.
I know. So she's done her genetics. Her primary thing, poor thing, is she can't sleep. And it's really hard to get better if you're not sleeping. So that's her primary complaint. Mm. And then along with that, she's got a lot of anxiety and stubborn weight gain and a lot of pain and fatigue. So those are her primary.
And she's, remind me how old, I forget what it said.
62.
So she's young.
Yeah.
Okay. And who did this beautiful chart? Did she do it?
She went to a counselor. So they obviously used some kind of neat software. I'm not sure which one they used.
Okay. It looks like their own. It looks like a homegrown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then this, and then that's Lynette. So that's going to go away. That's Lynette. And that's, so it's these three we have. Oh, no. So it's these three we have. We have this entry that you tell us about her. We have her gene thing, and then we have her timeline.
Oh, so her Dutch isn't there?
No. Let me go.
Because I uploaded like 10 different things.
10 different things. I got three. Let's see. Okay.
That's all I was given were those three things.
Oh, really?
Did you upload them all into that one uploader?
I did. Yeah.
Huh. Can you look in mock forms, Lynn, and see if it's there? I'm going to look in the folder to see.
Yeah.
So you looked in mock form and it wasn't there. There was only this. Did you do it in two separate uploads, perhaps?
No, I saved all my work.
Well, I was going by what Sharon had uploaded.
Oh, okay. Let's look in mock. Are you looking in mock form?
Can I upload it right now?
You could.
No, let me look first. It was in the CPS part, right? the CMDS case, or not CMDS, sorry, case study, the INE case study INE commission.
Okay, so if I'm going to go here, if I believe, Brenda, that if you go to where it says manage participants or chat, maybe it's in chat. Let me look to see. It might be in chat where it says, is there a more box where it says send file, or is that just from me being a host? Because I can actually, if you don't see that, so open up the chat window.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, open it up. And if it says, if you see at the bottom, it says more. See if it says.
Yeah, I see it. And it says send file.
Can you see that?
So it would be on the bottom part where it says type message here.
Yep.
And over to the right, it says more with a downward facing arrow.
Do you see that? Maybe not.
I'm on an iPad. It says send to everyone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's a message. Yeah, you're on an iPad. It's pretty hard.
So keep going over to the right. Okay. Well, you're on an iPad. I don't know what iPads.
Yeah, does it say more over?
So I'm looking at the case study submission, and there are just the two. It says, and.
All right, go ahead and why don't you go ahead and email. Can you email it from your iPad, or do you have to go to your computer?
I can email it. Where should I send it?
So email it to INE@drritamarie.com. And we'll look at your guys.
All right. INE@drritamarie.com. Okay.
And I'll just go there and.
So I'll attach the Dutch and you have the timeline.
Yeah, we have the timeline and the gene summary.
Okay. I think that's all good. That one.
All right. Let's see. So I want to know more about what she's tried for sleep. What have you tried with her, and what has she tried in order to sleep?
So the one thing that helps her, and she only does it 2 to 3 nights a week, is marijuana. Mm-hmm. So she has like little edible things that she'll take, but she can't do it every night because then she gets kind of used to it.
Yeah, and then it doesn't work.
But she's tried the melatonin, the HTP, the valerian, different sleep combinations, I think integrative therapeutics,
yeah,
with all the, you know, theanine and
yeah,
all the things that relax you. She takes magnesium. She also had to do mold remediation in her house. Uh-huh. And has done neurotransmitter testing. I don't have that though. But when she's tried to take things to correct imbalances, it exacerbates her anxiety and she just goes crazy. So, I know she's got blood sugar issues. Her HA1C is high and her fasting insulin was high. It was like 11.7.
What?
Yes.
Okay. So big. So what is she eating? Is she on a low glycemic diet?
She is. She eats primarily lots of veggies, protein, good fat, fruit.
What kind of fruit?
I'll have to ask her how often she's eating that, but she listed.
I would get her a blood sugar meter.
I told her I'm going to help her work with that. Yeah. She hasn't really done that yet, but she lists berries, apples, pears, avocados, grapes, bananas, cantaloupe.
She can't eat those foods with her fasting insulin up at 11. And what'd you say her A1C was?
It's almost 6, like 5.9.
Okay. So this is it. Does she eat close to bedtime? Does she finish eating 3 hours before? What's going on there?
I'm going to actually do a whole metabolic reset with her.
Good.
Yeah. Cause she's never really looked at that deeply. Yeah. And she was diagnosed with diabetes insipidus as well.
Okay. Well, that's a totally different disease. So, you know,
right.
This has to do with the pituitary. So, mm-hmm. So I'm looking at her Dutch, right? So she's definitely hyper adrenal. You see her red, right? She's all day long. She's high. So she's in a stage 3, Mm-hmm. I mean, stage one, sorry. she's in a one and she's 62, which means that's pretty good. She probably has good stores. If we look at her cortisol versus cortisone, let's see. Mm-hmm. So it's way high. So her cortisol is way high, 24 hour. Her DHEA is, it's in the range, but compared to the cortisol, we'd see a ratio. They don't usually do the ratios on the Dutch, but, in comparison, her DHEA is low. It's not low, but her her cortisol DHEA ratio is off. Metabolized cortisol, she's making a lot. I mean, this woman has reserves up the wazoo. Like, what the heck is going on here? I mean, she's been stressed like this for a long time and she's still got that much cortisol output. Holy
cow. Right. And like, that's what we're wondering. What is the driver for this high cortisol?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's got the ability to keep making it. Like, where is that coming from? That's pretty amazing.
Right.
I'd like to see what her sex hormones, we'll see it in a minute, what her sex hormones are doing, suffering as a result. But yeah, it's driving. Yeah. So her total, that total metabolized cortisol is was the output. Like the free is just a fraction of what we actually do. And most of the tests like saliva will measure the free, but this gets us to see, well, how much is it putting out? And what I see a lot in people, the ones that are right about to burn out, is they may have high free cortisol, but they have low on the metabolized, which is holy cow. The adrenal is going to burn out soon. And then cortisone is a storage form. And I think that's on a different page. Let me see. Okay. I don't know why they don't put them together, but here we go. So she's high here. Cortisone. Yes. This woman has I've never seen anybody with such reserves, especially in her 60s. If she's been stressed out for all this time. So where is this all coming from? So let's I'm just going to take a quick look at her. Look at this. What's her cholesterol? She's taking these. Okay.
She's taking progesterone.
Okay. Is she taking anything else?
Not right now. No. She has used creams and estrogens in the past and they got really high.
Wow. So her progesterone's high. Her DHEA is in normal range. Her testosterone is quite hefty for 62. Like if you look at DHEA, greater than 60, 15 to 115, and she's at 533.
Yeah.
So this woman's got building blocks, maybe. Where's she getting them from? Like, holy cow. But this is keeping her awake for sure. Let's see. So as far as her estrogen, she's obviously perimenopausal, postmenopausal, right?
Yes.
So they're actually in the range at the low ends of the range. Estradiol's a little bit low, but what I like to look at is the ratio. And so, yeah, her estriol is low. So if anything, you'd want her to be doing some extra estriol just to protect, you know, protect her breasts, protect her uterus, protect her delicates. Cause
she is taking DIM.
She's taking DIM. Mm-hmm. Why? DIM is going to lower her estrogen totals.
Okay.
And I would rather see her. I'd rather be checking her iodine to see if we can increase the conversion.
Okay.
From estrone, estradiol into estriol. So I'd rather see her do that. I'm concerned about doing DIM in someone who already has low estrogen metabolites. And she, you know, eating cruciferous, great, broccoli sprout powders, but DIM is pretty potent and it can bring the estrogen, the total estrogens down.
Okay.
Look here. Let me see. Maybe I misspoke here. No, her 4-hydroxy. She's got no 16-hydroxy. Holy cow. Now she's at risk for osteoporosis. Because it's 16. Like you want a really good 16-2 ratio. You don't want 16 to be too high, but her 16 is completely tanked.
Right.
And her 2 is good, right? Her 2 is very good. Her 4 is a little higher percentage-wise than I'd like it to be.
Right.
And does she have COMTs in her?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's going to affect that. So she's heterozygous for those, so it's not, you know, terrible, but that's definitely contributing. And then CYP, did they do the CYPs here? CYP.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Is this the one? Yeah, here it is. So she's got homozygous on the estrogen. So yeah, that's probably why she's taking the DIM. Because to get that down, get this up. Mm-hmm. How long ago was this taken and how long has she been taking DIM?
This is recent. This is, like,
yeah,
like weeks ago.
Yeah. And when did she start the DIM?
She's been taking that for a while. A couple of years, maybe.
Okay. And is she taking any methylation support?
Yes. Let me pull that up. She takes... I thought she was taking the MTHF. P5P, pantothenic, B12. Taurine. I thought she was taking carnitine.
Any B12? What kind of B12 did you...
It's the liquid methyl, and I think.
And does she make sure she takes that early in the day and no B vitamins? I would say for her, with all this trouble sleeping, I wouldn't have any B vitamins after 2 p.m.
Okay.
B6 might be an exception, but. We don't see the GADs. I'd love to see her GADs. Let's see. GAD, GAD, GAD. As you know, they didn't do the GADs.
Really?
Or are they GAD? Oh, there you go. Yeah, so she's got a bunch. So GABA can be an issue here.
Mm-hmm.
Excess glutamate and low GABA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's got a lot of them. Has she taken any, this says GABA. Has she taken any GABA?
I think she may have tried. I don't see that on her current list.
Okay. What's it called? Pharma GABA. Thorn mm-hmm. has is a good one. Liposomal GABA.
Okay.
There's this mixed feeling about whether GABA crosses the blood-brain barrier amongst experts.
Right.
In the field, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I'm more for some things that say they're more apt to cross as opposed to just a regular old GABA. So I would be looking at something like that. Has she ever tried Apex Adrenocom at bedtime or just throughout the day actually too, but.
Adrenocom. I don't know if she's tried that one.
It's a phosphatidyl. Did they do the PEMTs? Phosphatidyl serine.
She does take phosphatidyl serine from Integrative Therapeutics, and she's taken as much as 6, and they're 100 megs each.
Yeah.
At bedtime. That hasn't
done. Has she taken it consistently for a couple of weeks?
Oh, yeah, months.
Months.
She's on like 3 before bed right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when she has trouble falling asleep, does she then finally fall asleep and then wake up? Or how does that work?
She just can't get to sleep. And then she will wake up too. Like it's
okay. So she finally does after a couple of hours and then she falls asleep and only sleeps a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Has she ever had any history of trauma, sexual abuse?
Yes. And I recommended the TRE exercises and she's worked with a coach and that's helped her tremendously. She was raped.
Ugh.
So she has pretty... Yes.
She can't fall asleep because she's on hypervigilance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that would explain that it doesn't explain why she has so much reserve. That's like beyond.
Right.
This happened when she was younger and she's been dealing with this stress her whole life. How does she have all that?
I mean, right.
Pregnenolone and progesterone would certainly help as precursors, but, is she taking that? You said she's taking this progesterone or is she just taking progesterone?
Just progesterone right now.
It's progesterone.
Yep.
Yeah. Oof. Does she take, is it cream progesterone?
It's an oral 200 milligram right now compounded.
And she takes it at bed?
Yes.
At time. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't put her out?
No.
Oh, she has tried everything. I think the blood sugar is definitely a way to go.
An issue, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a big issue. Yeah, let me look back at her. And is she taking much of the stuff that's recommended on this sheet?
I know she did everything, and what's on the current? Do you have that? The med and supplement list? Well, maybe that one didn't go through. She's just on Naturethroid, progesterone, a multi, MediClear, magnesium.
What's her thyroid look like?
Well, when she stopped taking Naturethroid, her TSH shot up to 12.5.
Okay.
But now it's still subclinical hypo with like 5.
So even on the Naturethroid, she's at 5. What's her free T3?
Let me see. Her most current was December. Let me see what this says. TSH 5.13, free T3 104.
Free T3? No. 1.0? No.
That's
summer. Right. That sounds like total T3.
Free thyroxine index 1.4.
Okay. What about total T4, free T3?
It's not saying total, it just says thyroxine T4
4.5. Okay, so that's low. What about I'm thinking iodine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does she have antibodies?
They're not anything above range 10, 15.
Okay, so a little bit, but that's not going to account for a lot of stuff. So I would be looking at her, given her estriol to estradiol-estrone ratios, I'd be looking at iodine as being a culprit, given that she, even on the Naturethroid, she's still got a 4.5 on her T4.
Yeah.
What's her, you don't have a free T3 or a total T3?
It says free thyroxine index 1.4 mm-hmm. and then T3. 104.
T3 104. Okay, so that's total T3. So it's yeah. I mean, she's under medicated for the, as far as the thyroid's concerned, the issue would go to why is she not making it? Why is she not making thyroid hormone? And certainly you can look at things that are cofactors for that. Well, iodine's a biggie. What's selenium's more for conversion. It's hard to tell with her conversion. Because I don't have the free numbers, but testosterone's not high enough to cause, the other thing, be sex hormone binding globulin. Does she have any, how was her menopause?
She said rough.
It was rough?
Yeah.
Let me see. Wow, look at this. She has done a lot. Holy
cow. Yeah, I know.
Okay, so I'll be looking at that blood sugar stuff. Clean up the diet. She's gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free.
Yep.
Okay, how long has that been going on?
Except for the fruit. So I'll pull her off that. Low glycemic.
Yeah. Yeah. Get her on a
meal. I would say the gluten-free, and she's not 100% dairy-free. She'll have an occasional yogurt or goat cheese.
What's occasional?
A couple times a month.
Okay, that's not occasional in my book, but.
No, okay.
No. Occasional is a couple of times a year. Because okay. It's not long enough without to know if there's an issue, because the antibodies will stay active for a while.
6 months to a year, right?
Months to a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the gluten-free, I've been telling her for years, and she finally just is serious about that. So, yeah, again, six months. Yeah, we need to
so
get it.
Yeah. So those things could make a huge difference.
Okay.
There are stresses on the body. Mm-hmm. The thyroid, she's just not getting enough Naturethroid to make it, bring her numbers into range. So she's going to feel tired. Is that what she feels? Like, tired?
Oh, yeah.
Depressed and.
Yes.
Certainly depressed from not sleeping. Okay, so then what about sleep hygiene? So does she go out? Oh, this one has melatonin, doesn't it? Let's see. I think, yeah, melatonin. 35 in the morning. I don't know why they do morning melatonin. Like, why morning
melatonin? Doesn't make sense.
I mean, I'd like to see both, like, cause I'm a functional person. I want to see what does it do in the morning? What does it do at night? If the ratio between morning and night is off, then that's an issue as well. So I don't know what it is at night. What's happening?
Right.
I just don't know. So I don't like that fact that they just do morning. Sleep hygiene. So does she use the computer, watch TV up until bedtime?
I will have to ask her.
Okay. Go through in the metabolic reset stuff and the sweet spot stuff, that whole sleep module, like rip it apart. Okay. I don't think you're up to the sleep module yet in any PT, but it's in IRSPT and it's in sweet spot. There's a little bit more in the others, but yeah, but go through that whole ritual. Does she turn into dimming the lights? So this is a woman who needs to sleep. So she can't argue with you about this.
That's right. That's right.
Come on, honey. Do you want to sleep? Yeah. Let's just try. but it's really that sleep hygiene is so important. Getting out in the morning sun before noon, ideally right when she first gets up. So that tells the melatonin to go bye-bye so that it can come up later. As soon as she gets home from, does she work? Is she home?
Nope. She's retired. She's home.
She's retired.
So she gardens, she walks the dogs.
Great. Have her make sure she gets out in the morning.
Okay.
Right. And gets that melatonin into her eyes. Make sure that when she, after the sun goes down, the inside of the house should be dimmed.
Right.
We really have to go to extremes for her. Right. I can go sit at the computer up until I go to bed, turn it off and fall right asleep. Some people will fall right asleep at the computer, like my husband, but you know, but other people are more sensitive to it. And then the melatonin levels aren't going to rise the way they should to help her to fall asleep.
That's me. I have orange light bulbs in my bedroom.
There you go. You can teach her to do the same. And I, on my computer, I do have that dimmer thing that goes.
The flux. Yeah.
The flux thing. So I do that, but not on my phone or my iPad when I take it to bed with me.
Right.
It doesn't affect my sleep, right? So these things really apply big time. It's like going through step by step. Okay, we're going to go through and we're going to get your sleep, all the things in order to make sure. And it's not, that's not, that stuff's not something you try and see if it works and then stop. Like maybe
you just have to do it.
You just got to do it. That's just becomes life. And if she's retired, she just gets to, you know, when it's dark outside, it's dim in the light. Candlelight, orange lights, whatever she needs to do to get that be there. No technology, play some soft music, take a warm lavender bath, get a diffuser in the room, putting out lavender. I mean, make sleep a ritual. Cause what happens when you can't sleep is sleep becomes the most stressful part of the day. And instead of, mellowing into it, you just like, oh, okay, am I going to sleep tonight? I wonder if I'm going to sleep. I wonder how long it's going to take me to fall asleep. And then how do you fall asleep? Passion flower works really well for that buzz, buzz, buzz. I don't know if she's tried that, but that does work for that. It's not going to necessarily make her fall asleep, but it can turn off some of that self-talk junk that goes through the brain. I would say, yeah, so heart math. Have you taught her heart math or something like that, tapping or?
I think heart math might be good because she says she can't meditate. She's one of those that can't sit still and do it.
I can't either. And you know what? That Muse has helped me a lot.
The Muse. Okay.
The Muse. It's a little band.
Yeah. I know. I wanted to win it at Shine.
Yeah. So the Muse, has helped me. I've never meditated in my life. I mean, I was that horrible to say that to people. I can't meditate. I sit there and I try and I just me doing it. And the little birds will tweet. And I'll go, oh, there's a bird. Okay. Let me keep that up. Oh yeah, there's a bird. Oh, there's the wind. What am I thinking of? And it really helps. I do it for 3 minutes at a time. I do it for 5 minutes at a time. Last night I was just like frustrated because the first time I did it, I didn't get a long enough period of calm. I did a 12-minute one. It was like, 10% calm. So I said, okay, I'm going to do 3 minutes. I'm just going to keep doing it for short periods until I could calm myself down. And I did. I did like 3 or 4 of these 3-minuters. So it doesn't have to be a long, start with 3 minutes. Just start with 3 minutes. And it has the nice waves or it has the rainforest. You get to choose your background. It's phenomenal for me.
Okay.
So like 60 days.
Cool.
You know? So I would say just something like that, but teach your heart math too. So I like both of them. I think both of them are really good. That requires a device, just the breathing and appreciation throughout the day before each meal. Mm-hmm. You know, all those things that really, that most people don't have to be so anal about doing every single one. But with this kind of situation, the sleep hygiene is going to make a huge difference.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe, you know, she's very sensitive, it sounds like, to supplements. So just having her take, you said she's taking 5-HTP at bedtime. Is she doing that?
I don't see that on our list right now, no.
Sometimes people, I just was reading this, I don't remember where I was reading it, but it was about how some people, you know, some people have a problem with valerian and they actually they get the opposite effect from valerian.
Right.
Same kind of things can happen with 5-HTP that it can be stimulating for some people. It can be sleeping for some and stimulating for others. So tryptophan, just straight tryptophan works better for those people if that's the case.
Okay.
Okay. So you've got a few things to think about?
Yes, definitely. The blood sugar is a big one, a big piece.
Yes.
Sleep hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because sometimes we think things are obvious, but until we take them apart, they're really not.
Yeah. So this is what she, is this her current one or this is, no, this is back in 2015, her supplements research, what she's still doing. Now here's.
Yeah, her current list is 26 long.
Holy cow. Mm-hmm. But she does doing the oral progesterone. That does sound like a hefty dose. She's doing magnesium. She's doing a lot of the right things and you don't want to stop those sorts of things when you add the other things in. Like, yeah, if you try this herb and you try it for a month, it doesn't do anything, throw it away, you know? But if you're actually looking at things that are balancing your nutrition and the hormones, then those are more like they become the stable. Okay. What do I have to add to make this better? What do I have to add to make it better? Mm-hmm. Let me take one last quick look at the Dutch. Yeah. Go ahead.
Would you say the driving factors of the high cortisol could be that blood sugar piece?
Yeah, it could easily be. Like what happens when you have high? Yeah.
Probably the sleep. And the sleep too.
Yeah. Yeah, all of that. I think so. Yeah. Yeah, look at that. So her pattern for free and for cortisol and cortisone are very similar. Mm-hmm. I'm just floored that she has this kind of reserve. I'm totally floored that she's had this reserve with so many years of problem.
Right.
I would have expected tanked with maybe a high midnight, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm amazed that she has this kind of reserve or high cortisol and then completely flatlined on her hormones. So she's only taking progesterone, right? She's not taking
right now, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's not taking estrogen. She's actually taking DIM, which would lower the estrogen. Yeah, cause they're all low. So I wouldn't be putting a person like this on DIM, just to let you know. I don't know.
Okay.
One of the naturopaths might have recommended it or something, but before seeing this, but DIM will bring it all down. So, and iodine, big one, iodine.
Yep.
Estriol, you know, you can get a cream of estriol and just kind of put it on vaginally and that gets in there pretty quickly. But the iodine will definitely bring up the estriol.
So working with the iodine, how do you start that? How do you know how much?
I'd do an iodine load test.
Load test, okay. That's the urine?
Yeah, you do a pre, I think I described it to somebody earlier in this call. Maybe it was a previous call. I don't remember, but I've been talking all day. But it was basically they test the iodine and you do a bromine too to see if she has bromine toxicity. Cause does she have fibrocystic breasts or any history of fibroid?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'll ask her though.
Yeah, because that can be a connected symptom. And that's what we talked, I think, with Lynette said, oh yeah, I have fibrocystic breast, my iodine. Yeah, but definitely what you want to see for this ratio is that this estriol is equal to or greater than the sum of the other two. So hers is off. See that?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's not health. That's especially concerning with the COMTs and that side of CYP. I think it was 1B1 or 1B2, okay, whatever. Yeah. That's what I would be looking at. Okay. Does anybody else have anything they want to add or?
Can I ask you one more question? I have a stool test and she's got high beta glucuronidase. Would that tie in anywhere with this? And low butyrate.
Low butyrate, yeah, well, it affects the microbiome down there, right? It's, she's not feeding her bifidobacter. She doesn't have enough of the butyrate. What else goes on in there? Any other organisms? Any flora?
No organisms were found, just the diversity, very low diversity, and high fecal fats, so she's dumping.
Yeah, she's not digesting. Fat. Yes. I don't know if beta glucuronidase would have an effect. It just, it's not coming to mind that there's any specific interaction. It, but certainly with the estrogens though, I think it has to do with pulling some of the estrogens out. Cause you use calcium deglucurate to lower estrogen as well.
She's taking that too. Maybe that's not a good idea.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause those numbers are, you know, below premenopausal, oh, below premenopausal range. Wait a minute. Let me go back to the right chart because that's not what I want to see. I want to see how much below she is. Yeah, she's right in the menopausal range for estrone. She's below it on estradiol, and estriol is definitely at the low end and I want to see that higher. So calcium, I usually use DIM and calcium deglucurate. It might have been to pull down the 4-OH. But it will pull down everything. So that's a concern with that. It's the only concern.
Okay.
And her methylation here. She's actually doing fine with her methylation, even though she has some of those COMTs. It's not. I'm sorry. I was reading it the other way. So yeah, she's higher on the OH than she is on the, so she is low here. So the methylation, will be helpful, but just being careful with the COMT that she doesn't get more anxious. Mm-hmm. And her COMT was hetero, right? I'm getting confused between all the different ones I looked at tonight.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, she's hetero. Yeah, if she's not on folate, which it says in here, it tells her to go on folate, but not folic acid. If she's not on a folate, methylfolate. If she is on methylfolate, watch the dose, because sometimes when these doctors that look at this, they'll go, oh yeah, let's put you on 5 grams of methylfolate. That should do the trick. Mm-hmm. And that could be problematic with a COMT. That'll put her into anxiety mode.
Okay.
So really look at her, look at all her methylateds and see what the doses are. And I would say, you know, 1,000 or less, you know, a gram or less of folate and B12.
Okay.
Okay. Because that can trigger that backup, that methyl trapping.
Okay.
Has she tried CME?
CME. What's
that?
SAME. Oh, SAME.
Accidental.
I don't know. I'll ask.
That's a possibility too, because that often will help with the meth. It'll provide the methyl groups, but it doesn't have to go through the COMT pathway. So that might be an option for her to get her methylation up.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
Let me see. Does she have BHMTs? BHMT. I don't think I saw BHMT here. Because BHMT is the shortcut through the middle. So if that's backed up, then it's even more important to go for something like SAMe.
Okay.
Nope, I don't see it.
Okay. Good.
Okay, you got some ideas. You got a lot of ideas. So start with the basic foundational stuff. The GABA is another issue that you can be looking at. And, yeah. Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
Right. The other thing that just occurred to me is copper toxicity, okay, because copper will interfere with the production of serotonin.
Okay.
And that will affect sleep, and that affects melatonin. So, you copper, like look for what dietary sources of copper you might consider down the road doing a metal test.
Okay.
Or just give her extra zinc. That's the easy way around it right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because when that zinc copper ratio goes off, you can affect melatonin production.
Okay.
Okay?
Perfect.
Great. I hope this was helpful and not too confusing.
Very, very much.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for all your time.
Oh, energy. You're welcome. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Virginia said methylfolate helped my insomnia. So there you go. So check her folate. Somatic experience is more gentle than TRE. Kathy Kane's work is even more gentle. So take a look at that, Brenda. Let's see. Also, what helped me sleep was the DNA appliance that opened, airway. People with narrow palates or receded jaw bones run the risk of a narrow airway that leads to sleep issues. So it's another possibility. Great. All right, everybody. I'm going to open up your lines, unmute everybody. Thank you for hanging all night. I know we lost a bunch of you because it got late, and I know on the East Coast it's like we have to start our calls earlier because they go too long, and then I keep people up past bedtime. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.